The space race is heating up again, but this time it's companies, not countries, that are fighting for position. According to Reuters, the FAA sent a letter to Bigelow Aerospace that says the government intends to license private sector investment in space. Bigelow has plans to build inflatable habitats on the moon. And that got us wondering, who makes the rules in outer space? Joanne Gabrinowitz is a professor emerita at the University of Mississippi School of Law and a director at the International Institute of Space Law. And professor, does this letter mean the U.S. government is offering up a piece of the moon?
No, it doesn't. What this says is that the government is going to be working with the State Department and other executive agencies to figure out how commercial companies can be licensed consistent with international obligations under the treaty system.
Well, explain that treaty system just a little bit, if you could, then. I believe the United Nations has actually weighed in on this idea of who has control of space. This was back in the 1960s.
Well, the most important treaty is the Outer Space Treaty, and that was, you're right, that goes back to the late 1960s, and it says that no nation can appropriate space, and all nations who sign the treaty have to supervise their non-governmental actors. That's why companies in the United States who say they want to conduct commercial activities on the moon have to get a license from the U.S. government. And right now, the FAA has the authority to license launches that leave Earth, and they have the authority to license objects that re-enter the Earth. But right now, they don't have a congressional grant to license things that leave the Earth and go someplace else. What this letter is saying is they are going to begin to figure that out.
Well, it's so interesting because as you take a look at all the private companies around the globe that I imagine want to get in on the space game now, what sort of pitfalls are you seeing as more and more private companies are trying to get into space as opposed to governments?
One of the biggest challenges is that there are so many legal unknowns. Any company will tell you that if they have to operate in an environment in which there's so many open legal questions, that's a risk because you don't have the predictability and the stability you need to be able to conduct your business.
One of the things that some of these companies are talking about is actually mining on the moon or mining an asteroid. How does that work? Because I imagine a lot of different companies and countries would want to get their hands on valuable minerals.
Well, I testified before Congress last September on this very issue, and I'm on record as saying that it is a completely unknown status. Space is a global commons. What that means is all nations have the right to use and explore space. No nation can exclude any other nation, but we've not gotten to the point where we've reached agreement about extracting resources. So in other global commons, for example, the Antarctic and the high seas, there are agreements that have been reached about what happens when you extract the fish from the water or minerals from Antarctica. There are treaties and there are agreements in place about that. We've never done that for space. So anybody who wants to go to an asteroid now and extract a resource is facing a large legal open question.
If I were a company and I went to the moon and I took back a few moon rocks or maybe some moon dust, something much smaller than a payload of ore, for instance, would I be running into trouble there as well?
Maybe. We have seen that NASA has brought back moon rocks. The Russians did. NASA has been diligent in bringing actions against people who have illegally or improperly tried to sell or exchange or trade moon rocks in any way. So there are some activities, whether they amount to the level of a precedent, would take quite a bit of an analysis and perhaps a court decision.
Down the road, it seems also like something like this could start a war.
No, I don't see it starting a war. No, that's very dramatic. The other side of this question is diplomacy. There are other spacefaring nations that share similar interests to the United States. And I would envision, I would expect serious diplomatic discussions to be occurring in tandem with figuring out the legal problems.
And how close are we on that? Is that already happened?
Well, they're already on asteroid mining and lunar mining per se. I can't say that precisely. But there are forums in place where diplomats routinely exchange their viewpoints and talk to one another. And if the countries want to find a way to work this out without, as you say, leading to a war, they can do that.
This idea of space law is so interesting to me. You've been in the business for 30 years now. How much has it changed?
When space law first started, it was when Sputnik was placed into orbit, and the nations of the world didn't know what that meant. The biggest change in the last 8, 10 or more years has been the development of space law at the national level. In the United States, we've had a national space law for 50 years, since 1958. But it's only relatively recent that you see countries like France, Japan, Canada, Germany, and others writing their own national space laws.
And what about in the private sector? Are you seeing a lot more companies bringing on their own space lawyers?
What I'm seeing is companies bringing on lawyers who are very good at a number of things. To be a good lawyer in a space company or in a space activity, you have to have a diverse array of talents. It's more than knowing the treaties, although that's important. It's also knowing commerce and transactions and corporate law and intellectual property and contracts and all of those things that you learn in law school. And there may be need for specialties like insurance and export control rules. So companies that are going to be looking for somebody to work in-house will have to have a wide variety of skills related to business as well as space.
Joanne Gabrinowitz, a professor emerita at the University of Mississippi and a director of the International Institute of Space Law. Thanks very much for joining us.
You're very welcome. I enjoyed it. Thank you.